Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm Amy Taylor Cabaz, mama, journalist, coach, and founder of Mama Rising. This podcast is a space of community and collaboration. We gather stories of matrescence, motherhood, womanhood, and change told by our Mama Rising coaches and mothers around the globe, in the knowing that through our stories, we can begin to heal and change the way the world sees, values, and supports mothers everywhere. So, welcome to the Happy Mama Movement. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today, I'm speaking with sex and intimacy coach Daniela Stevens. Daniela is a mama of three. She has two children she birthed and one that she adopted, and it was also recently named one of the 10 best sex and intimacy coaches of 2023 by datingadvice.com. So she knows what she's talking about. But over the years, I've had a number of interviews on the podcast about sex and intimacy and connection and relationships after motherhood, and I really wanted to explore something different with Daniela. I wanted to talk about the roles we play in our mind after we have children, how disconnected we can feel with our bodies, but also most importantly, the invitation and opportunity that motherhood brings to actually explore who you are in this way completely differently. I know when our babies are really little, this is the last thing on our minds. But what I hope you can hear from my conversation with Daniela is there are ways for us to make sure we continue to explore who we are as women, as sensual, sexual women, even when our little ones are little, so that we don't lose connection to this part of ourselves. Enjoy. Daniela, welcome to the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm very excited to share this space with you and explore intimacy and connection post-birth with you and your experience with all of your clients as well. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I've spoken a number of times on this podcast and often very much so in my coaching programs and training around the huge identity shift we have within our relationship post-motherhood after we become a mother. And I think all of us understand it's going to change. We're at that point now where we do know that things are going to change in our relationship and things will change with our sex life. And yet I still think that when it arrives, it is a shock how huge that shift and change is. But perhaps more importantly, I hear over and over again how long that change takes to understand. So often post-birth, we talk about, you know, that six-week checkup, and then, yes, you can be intimate again. And I don't know about everybody listening, but in my mind, I felt like, okay, so then about, you know, a couple of months into it, everything will go back to the way it was. And it's not like that for the majority
of us.
Not
at all.
We still don't talk about this very well, do we?
No. And we can talk about the obvious things, right? That the lack of sleep affects how our sex drive, that we can talk about the lack of quality time or like opportunity with our partner affects our sex life. And you're right. We don't talk about how our transformative identity shift sort of how we think about ourselves and the dramatic transformation that we experience if we're the person that carried the child or children, what that does for our sense of sexual identity, sexual expression, sexual energy.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that, because I do think that that's once again something we don't talk openly about, is how we might feel differently about our body, of course. If it was a traumatic birth or an intense experience, we may feel very differently about how our body feels and looks, but also worry about how our partner sees us. There's so many layers to this, let alone, as you said, the actual physical exhaustion that goes with this time. So when you talk to parents, when you talk to couples or mothers about how to reconnect to themselves in this way, where do you start?
Well, I start first with talking about compassion and talking about grief and sadness, because it is a shift and we do want to honor that it's different, that we can't expect our body or our feelings about our body or our connection to our partner to be the same as it was even before we conceived, right? The process of being pregnant changes how we feel about our body, changes our sex life, the hormones that are involved, the vulnerability that's involved, the life, that, like the comfort of the ways in which we might experience sexual intimacy are all very different. And so we have to be really compassionate with ourselves and gentle first. We can't physically do things the way that we used to. And also allow there to be some grief and sadness. I think that we don't have this conversation amongst people who carry children, and we also don't have it with our partners who may not have been as embodied in that experience. So to also hold compassion for our partner's grief around, oh, our sex life is going to be different.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I want to say too that like our sex life on the other side of having children and raising them in their younger years. So a lot of my clients will come to me after their younger children have turned 2, 3, 4, 5, right? That's kind of the period of intense child raising. And I let them know that on the other side of this intense child raising period is the possibility for deeper connection, for a wider range of sexual expression and sexual intimacy, deeper healing, better communication, and so that it can actually be a richer, more alive, more satisfying and fulfilling sexually intimate experience than even the years when we first were together. And we don't hear that either. We don't hear that it can be better, deeper, different, more.
Yes, we often talk about in Mama Rising that first 7 years is the most intense matrescence experience, that there's something when those children hit 7 or the youngest is 7, you know, they're settled in school by then. Hopefully there's a little bit of that sense of a routine and a regular structure to life. And that's often when the women kind of catch their breath and look around and like, oh, wow, okay, so what now? What about me? And that's often when perhaps they look at their partner. And so often, Daniela, I've heard women worry that it's gone, that it because the relationship was not a priority in those years, mostly because it just couldn't be in terms of energy and capacity and time. Mm-hmm. But then when they get to that point, maybe when their youngest is 5 or 7 or whenever it happens, and they look at each other, they're like, oh, no, I don't know how to reconnect. I don't know where to start. And that, when we think about what that feels like in our body, because I know you have somatic training and this is part of what you do, like that is such a constrictive, closing, scary place to look at your partner and think, uh-oh, I don't know where to start. Like, we've spent so long focusing on everything else. What do we do now?
And oftentimes it doesn't even start with looking at our partner. We're like looking at ourselves in the mirror for the first time.
Mm.
And we're like, who am I?
Yes.
I'm not sure I recognize the person. That person is a vastly different person than 7, 9 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you've described, when they're in school, they're a little bit settled. We can take a breath and there's a little bit more space for us to return to ourselves. There's a little more energy to remember who we were and to explore now who we are, right? And there is this space too to turn to our partner and be like, hi, how are you? We've survived. What do we want to do here? And so it can be a moment of shifting, of transitioning, of awakening, a rebirth of sorts, a chapter turning, if that feels softer, to sort of say what's important to us in this new part of our lives, right? It's very easy for us to all say, well, before children, we did this. After children, we didn't do these things. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean we can't gently pick up, okay, maybe we do need to go out and do something fun together. Or maybe I need to go out and meet some have a drink with some friends like an adult grown-up. I mean, I didn't drink for a very, very long time. I'm not a huge drinker now, but when my children were young, it's just like, I can't do that. It's not, I can't. So it sounds cliche, but we're picking up older hobbies, connecting deeper with friends. We're trying new things. Like, who am I in this body that's been through this experience?
Yes. I remember when I sort of had that moment of looking in the mirror a few years ago when my marriage came to an end, and I was like, okay, wow, who is this person and what does this look like? What does intimacy look like? What will that connection look like in the future? There was no way I could go there with, like, even picture myself in that, in a relationship. So I started by going to, like, pole dancing classes. And, you know, I don't know if you've got these in the States and where other listeners are at the moment, but they have no lights, no lycra. They have these events here in Australia where it's like no alcohol, great dance music, the lights are down, you just get to dance and move your body. And it was this real moment of thinking, I haven't been connected to my body like this in years. And it was only through that then that I could even begin to imagine connecting with someone again. I needed to connect. And it's, again, it sounds so cliche, doesn't it? You need to connect to yourself before you connect to others. But we're not just talking about time connection. I found it was the movement and the feelings and sensations in my body by dancing, by exploring those things, that's what kind of woke that part of me back up again. So can you talk to us about that importance of the feelings and sensations? Because so much of that early motherhood, when I think about it now, it's so in our head. It's so head energy. It's organization. It's structure. It's, oh, my gosh, I have to do this. I have to do that. We can't be too much in our body because then we'll realize we're too exhausted. So we really do often in those early years of motherhood, unfortunately, ignore or deprioritize, if that's a word, what our body is feeling, because we might have to. And then again, when you get to that point where you have space and time, it's like, oh, hello, body. And that is such an important step in this identity shift, is reconnecting to our own sensations in our body again.
Yes. I'm reliving that same moment where I went to a sensual dance class. I went to a burlesque dance class. I went to pole dancing classes because I need, and they were all women and femme friendly, and I could just, it was time for myself where I could connect to my sensuality and to my body without feeling like it was going to be extractive for my partner. Mm. I didn't want that. I wanted to experience myself for myself and had enough separation from my children at that particular time to be able to like connect deeply inward to find the boundaries of me. I also remember that reading erotica was really helpful at that time because I could imagine very safely what was happening and feel the sensations in my body and not feel any pressure to have to do anything with it.
Oh, that's a great tip.
And so now they've got, now there's this app. I'm trying to remember what it is, that is an audio app for different erotic stories.
Oh, yes. And, Dipsy.
Dipsy, yes.
Yes.
And so I think if I were to have more children or to be in a relationship with somebody who's carrying young children, I might say, like, maybe you make a habit of once a week listening to or reading an erotic story or having one on the nights on the nightstand so that you can remember you're a sensual being, even if the energy and the opportunity right now isn't available. Because those are mm-hmm. two things that I talk to couples about. It's you have to have the opportunity, literally, to be sexually intimate, and you have to have the energy, not just the tired energy, but also the sensual or sexual energy.
Yes. Yes, I remember a few years ago when I was working at a magazine, I was editing a magazine, I was editing the story about Dipsy and thinking, what a phenomenal era we live in that, you know, we and also our children, this is so much more acceptable. It's so much less taboo. It's so much more accepted for us that our sexuality as women is powerful and important, and we may be turned on by the stories and the noises and the voices rather than the visual, and how amazing all of this is available to us. But it also brings up this question, Daniela, of the stereotype around mothers and sex that, exactly. again, so many women over the years have spoken to me about. But now that I'm a mum, and it's not just the worry that the kids might hear, but there is this, you know, very outdated old school stereotype that some of us carry that once you're a mother, then that part of you is not acceptable anymore, even. Do you still see that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's super unconscious and it's hard to pinpoint. And oftentimes I'll ask, is there this kind of Puritan culture, virgin, mother or whore dynamic that's happening?
Yes.
And it's so hard because it can be things that we do to ourselves. It can be things that unconsciously our partner is doing or seeing us through in the relationship. It can be things that we do for ourselves. And oftentimes when I'm talking to people who are dabbling in that direction or asking questions in that direction, I ask, can a shift from thinking about your sexuality be a shift into thinking about your sensuality?
Mm.
And that was a big change for me too, because when I was a mother of three young children, my nervous system was so activated. I'm listening for my children who are waking up. I'm listening if it's too quiet and they're into something that they shouldn't be. I am fried from moving from the kitchen into the playroom and just always having to have all five of my senses on high alert. And when I thought about sex, it seemed like such a high energy, such a high intensity experience. So when I shift from thinking about sexuality or my sexuality to my sensuality, then all of a sudden it can become softer, it can become more nurturing, it can become slower or more gentle, it can become deeper without necessarily being so intense. Mm. It can be super pleasurable, but that doesn't mean it has to be loud.
Mm.
And then in addition to listening to or watching erotica, or taking sensual or pole dancing classes, I really love finding erotic watercolors to just look at, or pregnant nude pregnant photography, so that I'm, or even postpartum nude sensual photography, because there's this softness and the sort of like elegance that can come through.
Mm. I didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, gosh, I would have loved to have seen sensual post-pregnancy bodies so often we think of the postpartum body as like getting back into your skinny jeans and how quickly you can get your belly flattened, and none of us actually look like that. And so once again, we're filled with this judgment or worry or criticism. If there were sensual, beautiful images of the body post-birth and in the first 6 months afterwards, gosh, that would have been a wonderful thing to have allowed me to build confidence in myself.
Absolutely. Yes.
There you go. How amazing that that's available for everybody who's listening.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing, because this is it. This is about us redefining ourselves, redefining our bodies. And now, as my children are getting much older and my body is changing again because of the next season of my life, I find myself again thinking, where are the images? Where are the stories? Where is the examples of what it looks like for a woman to age into her sensuality, to claim who she is, to explore these different times in her life? I know you have three children, two you birthed yourself, and then the third you adopted. Can you share with us a little bit of your own experience through this? You've shared a little bit of how you've reconnected. But now, where you're at with how you see the experience of blending motherhood and womanhood and sensuality and intimacy, and if it was any different adopting a child to birthing a child, and what that has been like for you.
Well, there's so many pieces there with adopting a child and not carrying them. There still was a very long sort of 3.5 year pregnancy, a mental, emotional carrying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the exhaustion, my youngest, when he joined our family, was 7 months old, so still an infant, mm-hmm. still a lot of transition, still a lot of energy, a lot of focus, a lot of presence, a lot of fluidity. And so that experience was very similar to my older two children, where it's up multiple times during the night. It's nap times, it's feeding, it's multiple changing. And so the arc of that experience was very, very similar. And the effects of the stress, both the 3 years prior and the 3, 5, 7 years until they were that age, had its own effects on my body. On the way cortisol saved fat on my body so that I would have resources if I didn't manage to feed myself and was focused on feeding three other children and my partner. So carrying a child doesn't necessarily mean to the exclusion of other family creating processes that our bodies don't change, or that the energetic needs of raising children aren't very, very similar, right? And then it sounds like similar to you, I'm divorced. I have three children. I'm in a state of perimenopause. I'm dating. And it's not so much redefining as ripening into another season of my life.
Oh, I like that word.
Yeah. I always like to support my clients to ripen into the best sex of their lives. Because when we're young or younger, or we're in the youngest season of our relationship, yes, it's new relationship energy. It's like the beauty of fruit first appearing on the tree, on the stem. But it's not as juicy and delicious as when it's ripened into a little bit of maturity, had a little bit of sun, had a little bit of exposure, had a little bit of like soil nutrients. So when our relationship is more than 3 years old, when our children are 7 or older, then we get to look at each other and be like, we survived.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, we did this. And we can appreciate one another, even though we're looking at each other for perhaps the first time for a moment. We can look in the mirror and say, I did this.
Yeah.
Look at me. And realize, okay, this is who I am right now.
Wow. You make it sound exciting to get to the point where you, whether you're in the long-term relationship that you had your children with or whether you're starting again, that there is a ripening for all of us as we move through matrescence and motherhood and we get through that incredibly intensive first few years. And then there's this opportunity to really explore this new ripening of ourselves as women, whether it's, you know, through pole dancing, through dating your partner, whatever it is. You make it sound, yes, exciting. It's like, oh, I'm glad I'm at this point in my life, whereas so often we can feel like, oh, no, I'm at this point in my life. Again, it's just that slight redefining of how we view this, because so often we're made to feel as women that the younger years are the best years and our body looks the best then. And so it's just what I'm hearing you say over and over is to just see this in a very different way and see it as an invitation to perhaps move towards the best connection and intimacy of your life rather than think that that is something in the past.
Yeah. When I was sort of mapping my path, I was like, where am I in life? When I was looking at myself in the mirror and turning to my partner and be like, what just happened? Where are we? I returned to kind of the hero's journey, the heroine's journey. I've created something called the relationship journey to give us a sense of the path. And I was like, okay, we go from maiden, right, to mother. And there's this sense that we go from mother to crone or wise woman. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I think in between maiden and mother and wise woman is goddess. That there is a ripe, I've seen some stuff and I am alive and vibrant in my body. Sort of the, we talk about and can hear about the surge into sexuality in the 40s, like women. They've maybe given birth or they realize, I don't want to give birth. I'm past those years. And there's a resurgence, a renaissance, a sexual, sensual renaissance that can happen. And sometimes that's tricky when perimenopause can lead to dryness and to hot flashes. And there is an awakening to, oh, I know who I am.
Yes.
I have been living in my body. I accept this body. I can explore what I want and claim it.
Yes, it's the claiming as well. I think when we get to this point, and this is one of the gifts of motherhood, and it is one of the gifts of the mother season, whether you have children or not, we all move through as as feminine beings move through that mother season, where we get to the other side and we're not willing to stay quiet. We're not willing to give ourselves over to others. We've found this little spark that says, actually, no, this is what I like and this is what I want. And again, it's a beautiful season that we have missed in those stories. We've gone from mother to crone. I really love the work of Jane Hardwick Collins, a beautiful midwife and teacher here in Australia, who talks about that middle season. You call it the goddess. She calls it the maga, which is the similar. It's this, we keep forgetting that there is this juicy, beautiful period of our lives, whether our children are teenagers by then or just at school. And this is when we get to explore. However, just to wrap it up, I think I keep coming back to this, wanting to clarify for anyone who's listening, Daniela, to clarify that we can get to this season and we feel exhausted and disconnected, and there's still so much we have to do every day. And then we look in the mirror and think, oh, like, of course, that sounds amazing. I listened to that podcast. Can't wait to get to the goddess season. Bring it on. Would love to do pole dancing. Yeah, I'd love to do pole dancing, Amy, but when am I going to find time to do that? I want to talk to that mama and just again ask you to remind her that it is there and it is coming, and she gets to do this in tiny little intimate moments for herself first and then really begin to explore what this is for her, because it can feel like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do that or if I even have time or energy for it. So can we just talk to that mama?
Yeah, so if you're a mother who's in the thick of it, you have a young child, you have young children, you are tired, you have to perhaps disconnect from yourself, from your partner, in order to survive these moments, I want you to be on the lookout for the moments where you can feel alive and in your body. So maybe it is stepping outside into the spring air, into the fall air, and just taking a deep inhale and feeling that in your body. Sometimes there's those days where we feel a little more energized and we turn on the music from our youth and we're just like, I remember this song.
Yes.
Right. And maybe we've got a baby in our arms. Maybe the baby's sleeping and it's in our AirPods. But maybe we've dropped off the baby, or we're going to the grocery store by ourselves and we're turning the volume on the radio up to the volume we want it. It's our music. It can be crass. There can be swearing, but it feels adult.
Oh, yes.
We can find the accounts. Like, I love the erotic watercolor accounts on social media because I'm not listening to anything. I'm kind of scrolling mindlessly anyway, but I can just pause there and go, yes, my body is a piece of nature and it's sensual and it's erotic. And I might not feel that way now, but I want to remember that I can, and it's true. So just these little moments that when your season shifts, the season of parenthood and motherhood shifts, you have a little bit more access. You're just carrying the thread of sensuality, of connection to your body, of playfulness, of breathing deep into the air of the season you're in, like the literal season outside, to remember that you're a part of it too.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. You took me back to those moments where I could sneak away to the supermarket on my own and thought that that was like going on a overseas holiday. It was so exciting.
Oh my gosh,
and sitting in the car park, my girlfriend and I used to call them car park conversations. And I'd ring from the car park and we'd sit there for 20 minutes and talk or turn the music up. Just those little moments of me and feeling into my body, maybe having a cry, screaming, dancing, getting goosebumps in the car, whatever I needed. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful reminder. Thank you, Daniela.
You're so welcome.
So we will pop all the details in the show notes of your work. And I love that you've created a relationship journey like the heroine's journey. We talk a lot about the heroine's journey here, so that is really going to resonate with all of my listeners. So thank you for what you do and how you're supporting women in this ripening within all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, as always, for being a part of our Global Matrescence community. Please take a moment and make sure you're subscribed to this podcast in your podcast player so you can always be notified of our next episode. And if you would like to work with a coach on your own experience of matrescence, please go to mamarising.net and explore our directory of phenomenal coaches, workshop leaders, space holders and facilitators around the globe. You can also explore our Global Matrescence Foundation and consider donating so a mama in need can access the support of one of our coaches and still ensure that our coaches receive the income and support they need so they can continue to work in this way. And finally, if you would like to be a coach, a facilitator and a matrescence activist in your own community, jump on our wait list for our next intake of the Mama Rising Facilitator Training at mamarising.net. Thank you for being here and being part of this movement. Until next week, bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.